Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Father, may we know of your presence and your power. May we know, Lord, that even though centuries may pass without our awareness of you, you're with us, and you reside with power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Well, for our Christmas season, we may do Christmas carols a little bit more than often. Because we might do it wrong because Jesus might not be born yet, but we're singing about Jesus being born. But where do we get Christmas carols anymore? Not at the grocery store, not at the department stores. They're playing fun, happy Santa Claus music, but the story of Christmas, much of it is contained in the carols. So the church is responsible to do Christmas, not all that out there. So we'll do Christmas. So we may, rather than doxology, I know you want to do the doxology, you don't like change, but we may be doing hymns during the Christmas carols during the offering as well. And in so doing, we not only remember the season, we enact the season. So this morning, I'm going to share with you a kind of a tough passage. It's a passage that anticipates, looks forward to the birth of John the Baptist as the presence of Elijah that is the forerunner of the Christ. And the historical background on this is that Isaiah wrote prior to the Babylonian exile, and the people were generally in disobedience. In fact, there were so many in disobedience that God told Isaiah, you just preach to the remnant. You preach to the small reminders, remaining people who still believe, because so many people have gone off with the culture. So they go off to exile, are gone for 70 years, they come back, everyone's rejoicing. They get back, and the land is populated primarily by Canaanites, and a lot of the young Jewish boys are growing up and thinking, those Canaanite girls are hot. And they start marrying outside of the Jewish faith into the pagan faith that was there. And consequently, what they saw as a result of that was the acting out of all kinds of bad things in their amongst their people. And the prophetic word has fallen silent. And years, centuries go by. Malachi speaks these words about four centuries before Zechariah enters the temple. And these are words that basically speak to the reality that we live, and that is that we have all kinds of occasions where we see the acting out of evil and wickedness, but where do we see the intervening hand of God? Hear the word of God as it comes to us from Malachi. This is because of the fall of humanity that I have to... The Lord of Heaven's armies says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, root, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. On that day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, all the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all Israel. Behold, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Holy Word of God. So Micah is not, as a prophet, is not happy to say these things. Frederick Buechner defines a prophet as one who is never invited over to dinner for a second time. Because their word tends to be this harsh, hard word, however, a word of reality. It's true, and everyone knows it's true. Without trying, they know that this speaks to the reality of the circumstances and situations in which they live, and they need not do anything but try to explain it away in some manner. We see this in our own day. The acting out of Hamas and attacking Israel, and to this day, the protests that are acting in support of Hamas. They may try to cover that support by declaring its support for the Palestinian people, but the Israelis are doing everything they can to protect the civilian population. What we see is, once again, the acting out of wickedness in our time. And we see it. We see it with great regularity. In my own ministry, I have been stunned many times in private conversations, particularly with women, who have shared with me the acting out of wickedness in their own personal histories. And I don't have a way of, I can hear it, I can observe it, but I cannot understand it, because evil is a mystery. We don't have the equipment to really explain it. We just know that it is. And the situation of our time is in reality the situation of all times. And every now and then it becomes sharp in its contrast, the darkness to the light. And so this is the situation into which Malachi writes. And he writes and says that all that wickedness will be destroyed. Now, before you jump and say, well, that's the Old Testament God. If God is not just, God is not loving. He brings his correction to this world that he made good and declared good, and that humanity, by their fall and by their choice, has fouled it. And so God, in his love, also brings correction, also brings judgment. A God who is not just is a God who is not loving. And so Malachi points to some forward time when there will be a revelation of God's power. The Son of Righteousness will rise, he says. And then there's a couple. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah says he's old. He says his wife is on in years. That's very, very discretionary of him. And he's part of this temple group, which back in the first century was kind of like guys who golf together. They have a regular group of people, and once a year a particular group comes in and does all kinds of activities in the temple, and then they draw lots among that group, and one of them, maybe once in a lifetime, gets to go inside in the Holy of Holies. Zechariah draws the lot. And he is so honored, so touched, that he gets to go in. And he goes into the altar. And there he is met by an angel of the Lord. And what that is, we don't know. We're simply told it is an angel of the Lord. And this angel tells him that he is going to have a baby, a son, that he and Elizabeth, despite their age, kind of like Abraham and Sarah, they're going to have a child. And of course, Zechariah argues with the angel, well, look at how old I am. I'm 53. She's 40. There is no way. Or he says, I'm 73. She's 60. There's no way. And the angel says to him, because you decide to argue with me, I am an angel, you know, you will remain silent. And you will, rather than speaking, you will listen. You'll observe. You'll see. And in your silence, what you will see is the tenderness and subtlety of the hand of God at work. He goes home. Sometimes later, Elizabeth calls him in and says, honey, you won't believe it. This can't be. And they give birth to a son, John. And they are so overwhelmed with joy. They are so happy. But what they see here, after hundreds of years where wickedness is seen all the time, day in, day out, what they see is the hand of God. See, we live in this life, and perhaps the most persistent question that we ever ask is why? Why? It's the answer that has no, or question that has no answer. But we ask it nevertheless all the time because we believe somehow that God is just and that there must be an explanation for these things. And perhaps there is no explanation other than the presence of God. But here's the amazing thing that God demonstrates. Not only is he present with us, but he has the power to wipe out all of that wickedness. His hand is withheld. His judgment is forestalled. But he has the power. And so what happens with Zechariah and Elizabeth is a miracle. It is the result of the tenderness of God. And this child is born to them who are the age of grandparents. And as we all know, grandparents make far better parents than parents do. And we see this couple overwhelmed with joy at something that is as natural as can be, but there's an unnatural reality to it, a supernatural reality to it, because it comes to them as a gift of God. And in the midst of all of that is this realization. Not only does God have his presence with us, but he has the power. And therefore, we can rejoice. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in prison about 3 months before he was executed. And he wrote these words, "So wonderfully surrounded by good powers, we await with hope, come what may. God is with us at eve and morning hours and goes with us into each new day." He writes that as he's imprisoned in a Nazi prison camp, executed only a week before that camp was liberated. But somehow he knew that because God was there, that there was a goodness that infused all of his life, even in the darkness of that prison. That's true for all of us, personally, individually, despite what it is that might afflict us personally, relationally. God is with us. He has the power. And even though we continue to ask those questions, why, oftentimes, if not always, in our own lives, that question comes not with these breaths, but with the breath of heaven. In that we put our hope and our trust. Will you join me in prayer? Oh Lord God, you allowed all of the wickedness and evil in the world, all of the wickedness and evil of all time, to be unleashed upon your Son. He took it and conquered it on the cross. And so, Lord, somehow that makes sense. Somehow therein is an answer that we cannot yet grasp. But somehow we continue to hope and trust and believe. Help us in our weakness and give us strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.